Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States.
An enthusiastic crowd of supporters greeted the president on his third visit to Utah with a standing ovation, and he gave the crowd of veterans a message they wanted to hear.
The security of the civilized world depends on victory in the war on terror, and that depends on victory in Iraq. So the United States of America will not leave until victory is achieved.
Throughout his hour-long address, the president painted a picture of a world divided into two camps, one that supports democracy and freedom, the other advocating tyranny and extremism. He called the latter successors to the fascists, Nazis, and communists of the 20th century.
The war we fight today is more than a military conflict. It is the decisive ideological struggle of the 21st century.
Observers say Bush's speeches, like the one yesterday, dominated by talk of terrorist threats, are designed to shore up lagging public support for the war as sectarian violence in Iraq heats up. Only a third of Americans say they approve of Bush's handling of the war, but that figure is much higher in Utah, and perhaps highest of all at the Salt Palace Convention Hall yesterday, filled with veterans from across the country. Bush said those who say the U.S. should pull out of Iraq now, while patriotic, are wrong.
Some Americans didn't support my decision to remove Saddam Hussein. Many are frustrated with the level of violence. But we should all agree that the battle for Iraq is now central to the ideological struggle of the 21st century. We will not allow the terrorists to dictate the future of this century, so we will defeat them in Iraq.
The president said if the U.S. pulled out now, the consequences would be predictable and disastrous. In essence, handing Iraq over to Saddam's former henchmen, he said, and al-Qaeda terrorists from around the world, who would have a new base of operations and access to tremendous oil riches. Bush did acknowledge the unsettling images from the war front, increasing violence in Iraq, war along the Israeli-Lebanon border, and terrorists allegedly plotting to blow up planes between Britain and the United States. But what unites all of those groups, he said, is their conviction that free societies are a threat to their twisted view of Islam.
This war will be difficult, this war will be long, and this war will end in the defeat of the terrorists and totalitarians and a victory for the cause of freedom and liberty.
Bush said in the coming days he'll speak more about the nature of who the terrorists are, insights about their ambitions, setbacks in the war, and the strategy that lies ahead. Political observers say that drawing links between today's terrorist attacks and 9/11 will dominate the president's speeches as the fifth anniversary of 9/11 approaches, as well as the November elections. Layton resident Sergeant Michael Merrow found the president's speech uplifting.
I think it's what the troops needed to build them up, and I think it's what the American people need.
As the Bush administration prepares for a long war in Iraq, alongside an increasingly skeptical American public, World War II and Korean War veteran Herb Odell of Texas isn't worried.
We've had conflicts before. We've overcome. America's strong.
But Odell's optimism isn't shared by the majority of Americans. Utah's Sharon Griffiths says the Bush administration has made her afraid for her grandchildren's future.
I could see going into Afghanistan, but Iraq just absolutely, you know, stirred up a hornet's nest. So it's time to bring our troops home. I was in Vietnam as an entertainer for many years. So I saw the travesty, you know, that happened in Vietnam. And so I'm seeing the same thing repeat itself, the winds of Vietnam, right here in Iraq.
Back at the Salt Palace, President Bush wrapped up by thanking the veterans for their service and then headed to the Grand America Hotel to greet a crowd full of wealthy Republicans attending a campaign fundraiser for Senator Orrin Hatch. Hatch's Democratic opponent Pete Ashdown held his own fundraiser earlier in the week.
I have nothing to match that with, so I have to be creative and do things in a different fashion.
The event was called Feed the Hungry, Not the Politician's Dinner. Ashdown bought $6,000 worth of dinners for guests, who in turn donated money to charities to help the homeless and others. Ashdown has had to adopt creative approaches to campaigning in his uphill battle against Hatch, who's been in office since 1976.
I took the philosophy early on that I would want to run a candidacy that I would feel comfortable voting for as a voter. And I have a lot of fatigue with politics as usual. Not only the marriage of money and politics, but the lack of discussing the issues, the lack of people having a voice in the process. And I've tried to approach that through my own efforts on the internet, but also in creative efforts like this fundraiser the other night.
Ashdown's event raised $8,500 for local charities. Hatch's fundraiser, meantime, raised more than $500,000. I'm Jenny Brundine, KUER News.